I hope you did bring your Bible, John chapter 8. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. John chapter 8, and I want a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you already know it. And I'll just tell you, like Kim Kardashian told her last husband, I won't keep you long, and you'll get out of here, amen. And John chapter 8, you know, there's different ways of dealing with sin. Everybody sins, not to the same degree, not in the same ways. But there are several ways you can deal with sin. I'd like to talk to you today about three ways that to deal with sin. And if you're not a sinner, then you're an oddity, because we were all born sinners. And I guess a wild animal is not a sinner, but human beings are. We were. David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. I was born a sinner, came out sinning, and you did too. And if you ever had a baby, you know they're the biggest liars in town. That young will cry over nothing and make you think that they're starving to death. Or I used to say that their pins came loose and stuck them, but they can't say that anymore. I guess the glue came loose and stuck them. And Brother Danny was so glad to hear that they had 9-pound diapers. Up to 9 pounds. You know, he and his wife have taken on a foster baby. And little old, 6 weeks? 7 weeks old. And old as he is, and now they're raising a baby. And he didn't know about these new diapers. You know, when he raised youngins like most of us, they had cloth and you had to pin them. Well, now they're super absorbent plastic something or other. I don't know what they are. I always said they was sin when they first came out. There wouldn't no mother put such a thing on her child, but I guess I was wrong. Everybody does it now. But somebody gave Danny some the other week. It says up to 9 pounds. He came up running up to me. He said, preacher, did you see what that woman gave me? I said, what? He said, diapers that hold up to 9 pounds. He said, I won't have to change that baby all day long. I said, it's the baby that's 9 pounds, not the load. Only at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Not only did the baby come out lying, the diapers did too. If you will, look at chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. That means in the act of adultery she was caught. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. And my question mark there was always, where was the man? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This said they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. And there's a lot of supposition about what he wrote down, but I think he wrote down some sins. And as he began to write these particular sins, particular men noticed theirs and took off. But he sat down and he wrote down these sins. And as he wrote them, I want you to notice, so as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto him, her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? In verse 11, I like what she says. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, he didn't say, "Go and live like you was." He said, "I'm not condemning you, but you don't need to do this anymore." Amen? Amen. He didn't overlook the sin, but he forgave the sin. Now, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. It struck me. Here's a story that proves the inspiration of the Scriptures. No man would have written such a story and made up such a story with such the wisdom and tenderness we see in this, because other men would have been self-righteous and condemning. Amen? God wrote this passage. Now, Jesus spent the night in the Mount of Olives. Are y'all cold, by the way? Last week we were hot. This week you might be cold. The air conditioner, we're trying to get it right. But Jesus spent the night at the Mount of Olives. The next day he came down to the temple, and everywhere he went, and as he always came to the temple, a crowd began to gather around. Well, these Pharisees, with their self-righteousness, had planned this whole thing ahead of time. They knew he was going to be there. They hated him. They wanted to discredit them. It was not about the woman. It was about him. So they set up a scenario, and undoubtedly they got a man to be a part of it. He wasn't there, so undoubtedly they had got to arrange this thing that this woman would be caught in the act of adultery. Now, I'm sure her reputation preceded her. I'm sure they knew who to get. She had that reputation. And I'm sure that everybody in town knew who she was and what she did regularly. Y'all listen to me, young people. Now listen. I'm sure they had all that in mind, so that when they presented her to Jesus, the whole town would be there and they would say, "We got him now, because he can't say like he's been saying. He's going to have to condemn this woman, because that's what the law says." They set it up. But it wasn't an honest thing they did. It was something to trap him. It was just something she'd done before. And they interrupted him in his teaching of the Word of God by dragging her into the middle of it and throwing her down to embarrass her and embarrass him and stating her case. And they weren't concerned about the law, because if they had been concerned about the law, they would have already carried out the law, which said stone her. They weren't concerned about the law. They wanted to discredit him for forgiveness, for mercy, for love. Listen to me, young people. You might need this one day. Listen to me. Now, his answer, instead of addressing her, ended up addressing them. See? Now, and when it was all over, the cowards had slipped away, with no opportunity for forgiveness. They wouldn't even admit what he wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. Maybe he wrote lying, thievery, homosexuality, crook, whatever. I don't know what he wrote, but he wrote something that they were all guilty of, and they began to slip away when he wrote they're breaking their commandment. And then whenever it was all over, he looked at her and said, "Where's your condemners?" And she says, "I don't have any." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." And he gave her mercy, and he gave her forgiveness, and he gave her grace, and she walked out of there a different woman. Amen. Amen. She walked out of there a different woman. Now, God forgives sinners. God forgives sinners. Of whom we could say, everybody in here could probably say, of whom I am chief. I mean, it only takes one sin to be classified a sinner. Nobody in here hadn't done that. And besides that, our very nature is sin. Even as Christians, we've still got that old nature. We've got a new nature fighting it now. But even as Christians, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. And if you didn't, if it's not the sin of commission, you didn't commit a sin, you've probably done the sin of omission. You didn't do what you knew, because James says he didn't know it do good and doeth it not to him as sin. So we're all sinners at some time. Now, there's three ways you can deal with sin. Number one, the way of sinners deal with sin is this. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of sinners and be judged for your sin. And the reason is, sin blinds people to their own sin, But it shines a light on everybody else's sin. See? And you'll talk to people about being saved. They'll say, well, I'm not bad as she is. Yeah, but sin is sin. Doesn't matter who's the worst at it. Amen? And your sin may not be their sin. And they're quickly to shine the light on your sin so that you don't notice their sin too much. You ever notice that? That happens among Christians too, by the way. Yeah, that happens among Christians. Now, you can deal with sinners as a sinner, but sinners deal with sin in a hateful, mean, unforgiving way because they don't know how to forgive. They've never been forgiven. They excuse themselves while they condemn everybody else. They'll look at their son while holding a beer, liquor in their hand, and say, son, if I ever see you drink this, I'll beat you to death. Well, wait a minute, what are you drinking? They'll point at some woman and say, look at that hussy over there, how she dresses and everything. And yet they're gossiping. Don't get quiet now. Amen. Listen, sinners have no pity. They have no desire to reclaim another sinner. They don't. Sinners not going to... Look, when you get in trouble because of your sin, the other sinners will run away from you, not to you. They'll desert you. This woman didn't have any friends there that day. Nobody came with her. Nobody defended her. And the place was full of sinners just like her. And these hypocrites that did bring her, who were religious sinners, they were quick to condemn her for her sin, but when he began to write down their sin, they didn't try to defend her. They ran off. They don't have any pity. And religious sinners worse than that. The Taliban, religious people, the Muslim fanatic, religious people, will cut off somebody's hand for stealing. Just top it off. No pity. And yet, they'll marry a 12-year-old girl. Yeah, they will. Yeah. They'll stone you for adultery, and yet they do things in the parlor that they ought to be stoned for. They'll blow up your buildings because they say you love money, and yet they want your money. The religious hypocrite's the hardest one on other sinners. Come on, help me. This is why court TV, Judge Judy, cops, all this stuff's real popular because, see, sinners love to see other sinners get it. Get him! I knew he was a crook. And that's because the spotlight's being shined on somebody else. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
I don't even know the TV shows anymore. I don't watch. I got that cable stuff, the computer stuff. You know, I pick what I want to watch. And I don't even know those shows anymore. But I can tell you this. I'll tell you one. How about that one that these where they bring people on there and they fuss and fight? Come on, help me. Give me a...
Jerry Springer.
We know what you've been watching. Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer. I used to sell insurance. I'd go in people's house, especially in Chester. Chester. And I'd go in there, man, they'd be sitting, six of them be sitting in there watching this giant screen TV of this woman pulling the hair out of another woman for messing with her husband who has a boyfriend. And I'd sit there and they'd be going and cussing and going on, you know, those TV shows. And finally, I told one of them one day, I said, you don't have any problems in your life? And she said, yeah, I got a lot of problems. I said, why in the world would you watch that? You got enough to worry about. She said, I like to see them get it. Sinners are the hardest people to judge in other sinners. Amen? You might think they'll have pity on you, but they don't. Hey, look, they'll be the first in line to cut your hand off. Now, then there's the way that the law of God treats sinners and treats sin. The Bible says the transgression of the law is sin. The law of God. I mean, you can start with the Ten Commandments, but there are a lot more laws than that. Now, the law of God treats sin and sinners differently than sinners treat sinners. They said, Moses said she should be stoned. That's the law of God. Moses was the lawgiver. And they said, Moses said that she, an adulterer, should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? In the law, listen to this, the first or even the least offense, no matter what it is, no matter how many tears of remorse, no matter how heavily it's dealt with, the law never has mercy. The law always condemns, always.
Yes.
There's no mercy in the law. Now, the law of God's good. The Bible says that. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. It's something wrong with the sinner. But the law is written, he said, as a schoolmaster to teach us that we're what? Sinners. And so the law is just cut and dry. This is sin, this is the penalty. This is sin, this is the penalty. This is sin, this is the penalty. It'll never mention mercy, it'll never mention grace, it'll never mention forgiveness because it's the law. It ain't true, but it should be. When we go to a court of law, the judge should be impartial about whoever's standing in front of him or her. And all they should say is, the law says. The law says. I'll never forget this, and y'all might think I'm crazy, but a long time ago, somebody gave me a billfold that had the Masonic emblem on it. I'm telling you the truth. It had a Masonic emblem. It was leather. I was a young preacher. I never even thought about what it meant. So I'm going, and I'm headed to preach at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in York to the youth at a Christmas thing. And I'm going up the road, and I am speeding. And this policeman pulled me over, and he said, young man, where are you going? He said, church. I said, I'm going up here to preach at church. We got this youth thing going on. I'm running late. I got to get there to preach. I'm sorry. I didn't even notice how fast I was going. And I didn't because I never look at my speedometer anyway. But anyway, he said, well, son, this is a danger. And he gives me this lecture, and he breaks out his ticket book. He says, can I see your driver's license? And I pull out that billfold, and it's got that big old Masonic lodge on there, and he shines his light on it. And he said, well, son, you slow down, and you be more careful, okay? He didn't even write me a warning. Sent me on my way. Now, he was impartial because of who he thought I was. And what organization he thought I belonged to. And undoubtedly, he was one of the same because they take an oath that they won't prosecute people like that. And you can get mad at me, whatever you want to do. I know, I read their dogma. A man gave me the book, I read it. And they wanted me to join, and I wouldn't do it because of things like that. And that man let me go. He overlooked the law and had mercy on me because of who he thought I was. Well, the law of God's not like that. It doesn't care who you are.
Amen.
You're guilty.
That's right.
And those people knew the law of God. They were teachers of the law. They were not practicers of the law, but they were teachers of the law. And they drugged this poor woman out there who they knew was a lawbreaker before they ever caught her. They set it up. And they drug her out there and threw her at the feet of Jesus. And he said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. That's what he said. So they're thinking, if he thinks he's the law writer, he's God, he's the one that originated the law, then he's going to have to practice the law, and he's going to have to condemn her. And when he does that, everybody else he's been preaching to is going to say he's a hypocrite because he's been preaching about mercy, love, forgiveness, long-suffering, goodness, and all these things. They thought they had him. And by the way, he was the lawgiver. He was God in the flesh. But see, you can't put God in a box. And they tried to put him in a box. Now, look here. The function of law is twofold. Number one, to reveal our need of salvation, Romans 3:23. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Amen. Put your phones up and listen to me. The law, the function of the law, the primary function is to teach us that we're sinners. Number two function of law is to smite, to scourge, to punish whenever we wander away from the law. And Hebrews 12 even talks about that for the believer. God chastens his children. That's what the law is for. Now, when you realize what the law is for, then you realize that sinners like ourselves, we don't have any hope. If it's the law, I have no hope because I can't go a day and keep all the law. I can't even keep the first commandment. I don't love him all day long. I don't think about him all day long. He's not my main focus all day long. I want him to be. I try for him to be. But that's why he says it's better for a man not to marry. I think about my wife. I think about my children. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We can't even get past the first commandment. So the law condemns us. And then you know what it'll do? The law will beat you. The law will burden you. That's why you got saved, to get out from under the law. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
That's why you got saved, get out from the law. See, the law right now says without Jesus Christ, you're doomed, you're damned, you're without hope. You keep breaking the law of God and there's punishment coming and that'll worry you and you'll lose. That's why we got saved. Yeah. You'll lose sleep over it. You'll be convicted about it. You'll worry about it and you'll weep and cry about it. Then finally, if you're intelligent, you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I can't carry this burden. It's too much.
Yeah.
God, take this off me. And that day I walked down that aisle, sixth pew on the left-hand side. I broke out and come down that aisle. And I was coming and weeping and crying. And as I was coming, the burden of the law was falling off of me. And listen, the guilt was falling off of me. Before I ever got to the front, I was saved. The salvation's an act of faith. And it's not words or a special prayer. And so as I'm walking, the guilt falling off. The sleeplessness is disappearing. The burden's going and I'm weeping and crying, and some people say, you know, the weeping and crying did it. It didn't. I was running from the law, running to the Savior. That's what did it. I didn't know all that. I just knew the law said, you're condemned, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, and you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. The law has condemned you. The law of God has condemned you. There's no hope. Now, that's the way the law deals with sin. And rightly so, by the way. What would our world be without law? You ever thought about that? And so Paul says, the law's good. The law's not bad. The law's good. That's the only thing that keeps us under control, man. There's not a person in this room. You young people, listen to me. You won't control yourself without the law of God. You'll do what you feel, and your feelings will always be wrong. Always wrong. Your feelings are never right. You better follow the law of God, try to stay up with it, and when you can't, you better seek the grace of God.
Amen.
Then there's the Savior's way of dealing with sin. I like that. I like that. And you know, well, just simple verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't mean your cat and your dog, they really don't go to heaven. I'm sorry to be the one to tell you that. I preached that one time, and a woman in the choir got mad at me and started talking out loud. She said, well, my dog went to heaven. I said, your dog's still in the ground wherever you left it. It didn't have a spirit. Boy, that's upsetting some of y'all. I can tell that. When your dog dies, that's the end of that dog. And what you can do is get another one that looks just like it and name it by the same name, but that's as far as eternal life an animal's ever going to have. But that cat ain't going to heaven. But human beings, death is not the end of it. Death's not the end of it. We have an eternal being living inside of us, and God so loved those people, us, people, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the greatest gift that's ever been given to anybody. That whosoever, now, the lost sinner will stop right there. But the Bible says that whosoever, what? Believeth in Him. Should not, what? Perish. Now, He'll give you everlasting life because you turn to the Son, because the law has now driven you to your knees. The law's not going to make you a Christian. Now, you might be able to keep some of it, but somewhere along the line, you're going to miss some of it. And that's called what? Sin. So, I don't want to answer to the law. I'm going to fail. I'll go straight to hell if I have to answer to the law. I certainly don't want to answer to other sinners, because they'll tell me right quick, you're a hypocrite.
Come on, man.
Yeah. And I'll say, yeah, I am. Sometimes I am. We all are sometimes. Amen. I hate Walmart. I was in there the other day. Listen. But see, the Savior's way of treating sin is different, and I thank God it is. Amen? Don't you thank God His treating sin is different than the sinner or the law? The Bible says He pities us because He knows we're made of but dust. You know, the richest person, the most healthy person, the most handsome person, the most intelligent person, the most cultured person, or all the way down to the drunk, is just a ball of mud anyway. They tell me you take the water out of the body, there's a handful of dust, of different chemicals, cost about $6 or $7. They ain't none of us worth a whole lot, amen? Outside the grace of God, we're not worth anything. Hey, we're made up of dust. People talk about cremation and stuff, and I'm not for cremation. I think you ought to have a good funeral, have a body there people can grieve over and have final and all that. And if you have cremation, it's probably money. That's all it is. But aside from that point, we're all going to be dust. What would make you think you're a better sinner than some other sinner? Well, she's an adulteress. We caught her. Well, you're a crook. You don't pay your bills. That's what he wrote on the ground right there. Well, she's an adulteress, and we caught her, and that law says stone her. He says, this law says we'll stone you too. He writes out their sin. But she's an adulteress. We caught her and we brought her here. Now, what are you going to say? God says, kill her. And he writes out, God says, kill you too. Here's the commandment. Let me show it to you. They slipped off like this. And they all go, and she's the only one left there. The one they said was the worst one there is the one that's left. Boy, ain't that funny how Christians talk about other Christians, and the ones that does all the talking is usually the ones that disappear first, and the ones they're talking about is still here. Yeah. And he said, who's here to condemn you? And she said, nobody, Lord. He said, well, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm glad that day he told me he wasn't going to condemn me too. Amen. Ought to been stoned, ought to be in hell. Since I've been saved, ought to been stoned, be in hell. But he knows I'm made of but dust. And the Bible says he pities us. I like it. These guys get nice clothes on. They wear nice clothes. I think you ought to. I think you ought to go to church dressed like going to see the King of Kings. I've thought that ever since the day I got saved. I didn't think I was going to a bar or something. I thought it was the opposite of that. But you know what? You can get the best suit in town and still die and go to hell.
Amen.
You can be the best dressed woman. And by the way, I think you girls, you ladies ought to dress like ladies. We'll be able to tell the difference between you and them other hussies out there. But that still ain't going to get you in heaven. Because you know what he does? He looks at us at our very best. At our best, brother. At our very best. And he still feels sorry for us.
Yes.
And he says, you know what? I feel sorry for him. I remember when I made him out of dirt. He ain't nothing but a pile of dirt. He can't help himself. Lady Gaga wrote that song about being a homosexual, said, I was born this way. Well, that's not true. But she was born a sinner and chose the sin that she wanted.
Amen.
You were born that way. And the Lord looks down at that woman laying there on the ground, and he has sympathy for her, and he has compassion on her. And he says, well, look at there. I created that beautiful woman. I made her. And I wanted better for her, but look what she's ended up being. And I feel sorry for her. And I'm not going to condemn her. I'm going to forgive her. And she left better than when she came in. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, for a righteous man, few would die. Somebody might die for you, for a righteous man or a righteous woman. Somebody might die for you. I believe I'd die for my children. I believe I'd die for my grandchildren or my wife or my mother. But I don't know if I could die for you. I don't know if I could die for your children. I don't know if I could make that sacrifice for you. Yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we wasn't even righteous. Now see, the law, the sinner says, I knew she was like that. I've been trying to tell y'all, kill her, kill her. And then the law says, well, I'm not going to say it that way, but she broke the law. And the law says, kill her, stone her. And then they throw it at Jesus' feet. And he's the creator of the universe. And he commands the law. And he can do whatever he wants to. And he starts writing down their sins. And he said, well, I hadn't killed you for this. And I haven't killed you for this. And I haven't killed you for this. And you remember that time I didn't kill you for that? And they slither off like little snakes they were. And she's standing there by herself. And while she was yet a sinner, she hadn't quit sinning. She hadn't even said she would. Yes. She didn't say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf.
That's right.
She didn't say, I'm going to reform. I'm going to go through a step program. She just kept her head bowed, and she's laying there in the dirt thinking somebody's going to kill her. They're fixing to stone her. And the Lord says, get up. I'm not going to condemn you. In the Old Testament, one of the prophets, I forget who it was, it just came back to my mind. He said, when I found you, you were a baby still in your blood. You'd been cast aside in the dirt, and I lifted you up. You know what he's saying? They aborted you. They didn't want you. They threw you to the side of the road. You was laying there dying in your own blood. Hadn't even been cleaned up yet. You're dying in your little old baby, dying in its own blood. It doesn't know how to help itself. And that's what you were when I found you. And I lifted you up and I cleaned you up. And that's what he did for us. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I'm not the sinner that's going to accuse anybody. It's just by the grace of God I am what I am. I'm not the law. I'm not holy enough to write the law or enforce the law. And I'm certainly not the Savior. I can't forgive you sins. But I can point you to Him.
Amen.
I can point you to Him. Listen, sin cannot change the heart of Jesus Christ. You hear me? Sin cannot change the heart of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He loves you when you're good. He loved you when you was bad. He loves you when you're faithful. He loves you when you're unfaithful. He loves you when you're nice. He loves you when you're not so nice. He loves you when you're living right, and He loves you when you don't live right. His love does not depend on you nor the law of God. He fulfilled the law of God. He lived a life you can't live. And then He died in our place to pay our sin debt that we owed. He didn't owe it because He so loved us. Sin cannot change His pity for sinners. Here's what me and you do. We'll get mad at people. I mean, after a while, Brother Jeff, we get mad at people and we cast them off and we don't have any pity on them anymore. Why don't you get up and get out of that? Why don't she do better? You know, that's the way we'll get, but never does Jesus get that way.
Amen.
He loved, the lower they go, the more he loves them. He, matter of fact, he said if they'd go to hell, he'd love them all the way to hell. If you die and go to hell, you're going to have to step over the grace of God. You're going to have to trample the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to have to step over the Word of God. It's not easy to go to hell. Because he so loved you. Now, listen. After the accuser was gone, all hope was abandoned. I imagine she thought, this is it. I'm done. And when he sees her, how she's feeling, I imagine he could say, and he knew her heart, by the way. We didn't know her heart. They didn't either. But undoubtedly, he saw a heart of repentance. Undoubtedly, he saw a heart of remorse. Come on, help me. Before you got saved, people looked at you and they thought there wasn't no hope for you. They didn't see your heart. They didn't know what was going on down in your soul. But he saw it. Don't you think the old gal was tired of the way she was living anyway? Sin doesn't give any rewards. It promises a lot. What's the old saying? It'll take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And in the end, sin looks real good to start with, but in the end, the Bible says it bringing forth death is going to kill something. Don't you think she done got to that point? Do you think this shocked God that they threw this woman down there? Don't you think he was God in the flesh and the God of all knowledge? Don't you think he already knew this was going to happen? Don't you think before the foundation of the world was ever laid, he knew this woman and he knew that this was the time that she was ready to repent, ready to be remorseful? Don't you think he allowed the circumstances for the hypocrites to drag her in there in the first place? And then he said, I got you right where I want you. You're on your knees. You're remorseful. You're repentant. Now I can save you. He didn't jump back and say, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. People don't read the Bible like that. This was God. He knew she was coming. He already had the plan laid out before the foundation of the world was ever laid. After all gone, she's repentant. She's yearning for forgiveness. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And you know what she did? She got up. She got up. You know what you'll do? When God gets you where he can talk to you, when God arranges the circumstances that you think somebody did that to you, he'll say, get up. I want to help you now. I thought about this. The only free place in the universe is in the loving arms of the Lord. He will condemn your sin, but he won't condemn you if you'll come to him. He'll forgive you by the blood shed on the cross. He's already given the forgiveness. You just got to accept it. And you know what that'll do? That'll make you want to go and sin no more. Can't get forgiveness. He put us in church one day, those of us who are saved, most of us. He put us there, Bonnie. He arranged the circumstances. He put us on our knees. He arranged the heartache and the heartbreak that you had to go through to get saved. He arranged that. It didn't shock him, Mike. He didn't say, uh-oh, I didn't know he was going to be here. He put us where we are today. It's all the grace of God. It's not the law. It's not other sinners. It's for God so loved. Now, no matter what you do, God's going to so love you. Now, if you wait till the end, the law will condemn you. But if you come to him before the end, he'll forgive you. Let's stand, Father.